Okay, guys, welcome to the Mobile Trader Network. This is JD, the Mobile Trader. I'm coming to you. I'm about 200 miles outside of El Paso, Texas. Today is Wednesday, October 7th, 2020, in the year of COVID. I just wanted to talk to you about what's on my mind about the market. And first things first, let's not get ahead of price, guys. We cannot predict what's going to occur with the election less than, I believe, 2 weeks out. Anything can happen. Protect your assets, protect your capital. If you're worried about risk, take risk off. If you have open trades and profit, think about maybe selling in the strength, or just let's be, I guess, vigilant and protect capital. But one of the focuses that I've been really just kind of diving into is false positives, to where if we don't have a replicable process that's in place, maybe an edge, if you're into fundamentals, if you're into technicals, if you use the CAN-SLAM method, if you use Elliott waves, Bollinger Bands, what Heikinashi, the Ichimochi, I can't pronounce it, clouds, whatever our edge is, we must utilize it. But also, we must prepare for random acts, a rogue tweet here or there, and have our risk-reward parameters in place. I found myself following my trading plan properly, but there's one stock that gets me to kind of, I find myself becoming emotional, I guess, and it's Tesla. I'll trade off the daily chart. I'll enter on the, you know, whether we have a pullback or a reversal or if I see a wedge pattern, a break, and a retest, I'll enter on a new high, things like that. And I'll try to drill down further. But it's almost like trying to saddle a wild Mustang. I mean, it moves freely and it moves with the wind, but there is a pattern, there's a rhythm, and when I follow my trading plan, I have to be willing to take the losses properly and stick to the plan enough times to where the edge plays out, and that's where I find myself, I guess, cutting corners. And whenever I cut corners, I'll look at, oh wow, I will get ahead of price on Tesla just a little bit, and it burns me. But if I wait for confirmation, the option may cost a bit more, and I might not get the, I don't need the entire move, but I find myself being greedy, and I have to kind of revisit my trading plan and the rules that I have in place and follow them. And my good friend Maurice Jackson, Trader Mo, he just really stresses, you know your why, patience, and stick to your plan, have a plan in place. And we both stress that. And it's easier to say it, but there's always that one, well, it's not always, but I'm sure you guys have a stock that tests you. You know, I never really traded Apple. I like buying Apple, the shares, but I wasn't a trader of Apple. And a good friend of mine, King Steph, caught the rhythm of Apple. One of our members in the Stock Scouts, Mrs. Briscoe, she has a great strategy for Tesla, and she sticks to her guns, you know. So whatever your edge is, stick to it. And we have to realize also that trader psychology is a true, it is a legitimate, I should say, phenomenon, because markets are emotional. Markets are reflections of our emotions, of patterns, of human patterns. I believe, what is it, Dr. Elder from Trading for a Living said it's markets are mass psychology, mass economic psychology. I don't have the exact phrase, but we know you can spot buying pressure on a chart. You can spot volume. You can spot trends. And we tend to repeat ourselves. We tend to follow, you know, fear, greed, complacency, irrational exuberance. All of those emotions come into play. We can see them on the charts. It's just up to us to decipher the signals. We have to sift through the noise and attach ourselves to signal. One of the things that we always talk about, I see new investors or new traders, they try to jump or time an earnings play. Without a, if you're going to do an earnings play or participate in an earnings trade, it's a roll of the dice if you don't have an advanced option strategy in place. Whether you're, I don't even know the strategy that I would use. Straddle, strangle, iron condor, butterfly, all the exotics. There's something that you can construct, whether you're selling options like Kirk Duplessis, playing in the bank, you know, a lot of Mo Fuller, Rico Brown, Raymond Morris. So those are all members and traders who they sell premium, and they can construct, they offer support and resistance, and they can construct their trade accordingly. Kylan C, he's in the futures market, has his trading plan and his parameters in place, and he'll come in the trading room in the morning sometimes and, you know, say he didn't pull the trigger, or he pulled the trigger, he caught Peloton for a great move, left some meat on the bone, to where we don't want to, you know, the phrase, okay, a couple of phrases, you know, that when they say bulls get fed, bears get fed, hogs get slaughtered, or they say pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered, from a greed standpoint. So one of the things that we need to have in place as we enter any trade or in an investment, establish the parameters. How long are we looking to be in this? Is this going to be a day trade, an overnight? It's going to be a swing trade? Are we going to go an extended swing trade, a position trade? Or are we going to go buy and hold? We're going to, you know, let's go with, we're going to make, turn this into an investment. If it's an investment, we're going short term, mid term, long term, and then establish our pain threshold. What am I willing to risk? Am I going 2% of my account value? You know, I have $1,000 on the table. I'm willing to risk $200 out of that, you know, and which I hope my entire account isn't $1,000 and I don't have that entire amount on the crap table, you know, in the market at play. But if you do, on the options side, we have to have strict stop losses in place or risk reward. So if I'm risking 200, am I risking 200 to make 250, 200 to make 300? Am I risking 200 to make 400? You know, the 2-to-1, or have we even thought about that? That's one of the keys that I look at, and we have to have that established, because if we don't, we'll be susceptible to any news flash or any, and I'm not talking about a true market maven or a true market wizard dropping a hint on Twitter. So I'm talking about in a chat room or Facebook, someone posts an opinion piece where it says Apple is done. Apple will never recover. You know, that you always see that. And before the new iPhone, iPhone sales, no one uses the iPhone anymore. And that's maybe 5 stock splits ago. Tesla can never meet their delivery goals. That's before the Dragon landed at the, got astronauts to the ISS, you know. So we have to prepare for the outside noise. And if we allow it to affect our our plan, that's a big risk. That's a dangerous, it's going to affect our capital. We need to have our trading plan in place, and it's going to be hard enough to deal with that without being emotional as a human. And then you have life. Most of us have 9 to 5, so we can't babysit a position from 8:30 a.m. Central to 3 p.m. Central, you know, the regular market hours. So we have to establish it. And an amazing trader made this statement. He calls it a Walmart trade. Get in your trade, establish your stop loss, establish your profit target, and put it on there and set it and forget it and go to Walmart and go shopping or whatever you're going to do and let the market happen. Another thing is to study up. One of our members in the Stock Scouts had mentioned something about level 2 and wanted to know a little bit more about it and wanted to know what the size column. But I guess I misunderstood the question, and so did several others. And everyone answered, we're looking at the bid and the ask. It's 17 cents by, or 45 cents by 48 cents. That's really $45 by 48. And she came back, she was one to put emphasis on not price. I want to know what the sizes are in the size column on the level 2. And basically, you know, a 10 lot multiplied by 100. We have 10 contracts there. So little things like as we move forward, just continue to elevate our knowledge in the entire sector, but then we'll find that niche, you know, where my good friend, Rico Brown had, I can't remember when he jumped into the market, but now that he's in there, he is fully connected with Elliott Waves. You can pretty much call him a market technician. Maurice Jackson, my business partner, the Can Slim man. He Investors Business Daily, Bill O'Neill. He is Mo is the resident economist, you know, a master's in economics. And he's also a keen and an excellent chart reader technical analyst, and he uses a Can Slam. So he's a hybrid trader and investor and money manager. So as we improve our knowledge base and increase our tool chest in the market, our questions tend to improve. You can tell the level of sophistication of an individual by the level of their questions. I'm not saying someone who asks that the overly technical question just to kind of show you how intelligent they are, but there are times when the question that's being asked is asked in such a way that it becomes ambiguous. I'm using a big word now, but I mean, the word, you can't articulate what you want to say in the early stages because you haven't learned enough, you know. And so it's a double-edged sword, and it can be frustrating, but it's also it's an important aspect of learning. So if we're going to take a course or have a be mentored by someone, it's in our hands to study prior to, not to become experts in that genre or arena or whatever area we're going into study, but kind of maybe familiarize ourselves with certain terms and phrases. And as we go in, we're not jumping into a cold pool. We warmed up a little bit in the jacuzzi, and we're going in, and our body will be, it'll acclimate a little bit more in a quicker fashion. So guys, I just wanted to say, continue studying, continue working hard. Check out the Stock Scouts on Facebook. That's the Facebook group that I administrate with with Maurice Jackson, my buddy, my trading partner, and we also have the stock scouting report coming out this month, and we're focused on penny stocks, innovators under $10. Yeah, it's goes against every, well, the title goes against everything that we've discussed, because we're very, very adamant about avoiding penny stocks, but we're talking about the pump and dumps. Well, we're providing that deep dive into a process of, I guess, screening and filtering and building a list of innovators under $10 that are ready to break. For perfect example is Pacific Biosciences, PACB. They checked all the boxes. They were a pennies. They were under $10 a couple of weeks ago. We're looking, last few days they were up over 12. I didn't check today, but that's one of my favorites, and one of the all-time favorites for my family is AMD. From four to whatever it is now, $3.85 to $85. So we can find them. We're not looking for the random flip the coin and, hey, it's at 25 cents. If I hop in, it might get to 50. And when it gets to 50, our emotional, the rational exuberance will check in. We'll say, well, if it got to 50 that quickly, this thing might go to a dollar. I'm not taking my gains. I'm staying in. And that's when the rational exuberance hit. And you have everyone, you have the guys at the car wash. Hey, did you find out? You know, hop in Genius, man. Yeah, Mo, I'm on it, man. Hop in GNUS. It's running to 12 bucks. It's under a dollar. Hop in, guys, you know, in church, the deacons, at the deacons meeting at the end of it, they want to talk about Genius. And when you start hearing that, the pump and dump, the idea is to have a process to where you can vet. And you won't hop into that emotional stock because it's the hot new thing, because it's very easy to hop in. And when the crowd hops in, the keen investor or the really slick, savvy one, they're gonna pull the rug out. They're pulling their money and pulling the chute and letting the stopper out of the drain. So guys, study up, keep working hard. And when I get posted up in Phoenix, I'll check back in.